Hi, and welcome to Adventure Dog Podcast, the podcast all about doing amazing things with your doggos. I'm Nathan Berry, she's Rue the Shark, and this is Episode 2. Today, we talk about opinions. Everyone's got them. Rue gets buckled in for the ride, and I interview a cool mountain dude. But first, welcome to the show. If you're new, well, don't worry, so am I still. If you're back after the first episode, thank you. That means you like what you heard, and it means a lot to me, so I'm glad you're here. If you dropped me a note or a suggestion or some constructive criticism, I appreciate that too. This is, of course, a whole new experience for me, and before we go any further, I should point out that I am by no means an expert in any way about pretty much anything. I'm just a guy that loves his dogs as if they were my children, and I like to take them places and do exciting things, and I want to share those experiences with you. So what you hear on the show are simply mine and other people's opinions. We all have our own opinions, which is what makes life interesting, right? So if there's something that bothers you or you don't necessarily agree with, well, okay. I'm not trying to convince anyone to do anything they don't agree with. And if it really gets you upset, let me know. Let's talk about it. If there's a problem, offer me a constructive solution and we'll work together to figure it out respectfully. This is all about just having fun. So yeah, I got a few comments about whether or not to buckle up the pup while driving in the car, and I totally agree. Safety is extremely important. I realize it's not always about my own driving. It's also the other drivers that I can't control, and the fact that an accident can occur really anytime, anywhere. So if you've been living with anxiety for the last week after listening to us talk about not buckling in, then I apologize. And rest assured, I have immediately purchased a couple different restraints to try out. There's a ton of options if you just search for dog seatbelt online. And with a little bit of research, I ordered two different ones, a very basic $10 no-chew cable-style restraint with a direct to buckle for my partner's car so she can buckle in Wendy, our newest addition to the family, and a bit of a wild child in the car. After a bit of debate, I went with the Kergo direct to seatbelt tether with a swivel locking carabiner for Rue, and it was about $15. It's a webbing style lead or belt that has a car seatbelt buckle on one end so it clicks right into the car. The belt extends from 15 to 22 inches for a little bit of freedom to move around, but it's not much, especially for a larger or taller dog. There is a swivel carabiner that attaches to one end and would attach to Rue's harness, but it's very lightweight. The swivel keeps the belt from twisting up every time she turns circles in the back seat. One thing to keep in mind, though, is if this will work with your existing car seat buckles. I don't believe it'll work with Volvo or some Fords. And, of course, I always recommend using a harness rather than just connecting a restraint to a collar. A harness is much more comfortable on a dog and is going to be a lot more secure. There was one other that I looked at but didn't buy. It's the Kergo Swivel Tether, which just has a big loop that goes around the existing car seat belt, which would be clicked in. It was the only restraint that I could find that's rated for a crash to support a certain amount of pounds of force, and it's designed and constructed very much like an energy absorber used in rock climbing, with webbing folded over and stitched so as to come apart during a crash and absorb the energy. The carabiner with that one was also a little more robust, and the whole thing was about $30. I was really kind of impressed by all the options and how much thought that Kergo has put into all of their car travel stuff. So yeah, I'll be using those two restraints for the next week, and I'll let you know what I think in the next show. And with that, let's get to the interview. Today, I'm talking to Megan, the dog mom of Boon Boy Dude, a.k.a. Boon Boy the Mountain Dude, who hails from the Denver area and has spent nearly every weekend of his young life adventuring in the Colorado Rockies.
He'll start jumping and running into things, so no worries, I understand.
Well, I guess kind of to start this whole thing off, tell me a little bit about Boone. How did you get him? Where did he come from? And, you know, what you decided on, or did he just kind of, you know, how did this happen? How did everything come to be?
It's kind of a long story. I'll try to make it short.
We got all the time in the world. You can talk as much as you want.
Okay. I'm actually super allergic to dogs. I mean, I know he's a labradoodle, so he's hypoallergenic. That doesn't matter to me. I'm allergic to dog saliva. So any dog, I'm just allergic to. Yeah, it's crazy. And actually, not to get all technical, a lot of people are allergic to dog saliva, and every dog's saliva is different, but that's a whole nother thing. So, you know, it's really hard for me to ever have a dog. I didn't have a dog. On the reverse, my boyfriend, his family is from a huge dog family. His sister is a vet. Like, he grew up with tons of animals. Mm-hmm. So it was this hard little spot in our relationship that we avoided for, you know, 4 or 5 years. Like, he wants a dog. I can't have a dog. How are we going to compromise here? And when we moved in together in Denver, you know, it was just a constant, I need a dog. And I'm like, too bad. I can't have a dog. So he called around to a bunch of labradoodle breeders out here, just because, you know, we would love to adopt. And maybe now that I've figured my allergies out, we can. But it was too much of a risk. So we called a bunch. We went to this one, and she let me come and play with all her different dogs. I was allergic to all of them. Broke out in hives. You know, throat was closing up, not extreme, but, you know, I was getting wheezy and stuff like that. And so that didn't work. She just kept calling us back every different type of litter she had. I would come and play with them because, like I said, you can be allergic to one dog, but not another. It was so over, you know, we went to 3, 4, 5 different litters until I found Boone. He was the curliest one in the bunch. And I played with him from the time he was 2 weeks. I would go almost every week and play with him until he was ready to go home at 8, 9 weeks, whatever it was. And I would have little reactions to him. But by this time, I was, you know, obviously in love with the dog. And, you know, he was mm-hmm. my little baby. So I have to get allergy shots every week. I have to take prescription and over-the-counter allergy medicine. I take an inhaler. I know a lot of people are probably like, wow, you're crazy. Why did you do that? But
the things yeah, that you do for love.
Do for you. Right. So it's funny because people are like, why do you even have a dog? But I'm like, now it doesn't faze me. Like, I've really grown, like, I think an immunity to him that I think I could maybe adopt like a hypoallergenic non-shedding dog in the future maybe. So that's kind of something we're looking forward to maybe in 2 or 3 years exploring, because I think my body's really gotten used to living with him now. But I won't lie, the first 2 months we had him, I was not doing that good. But I just kept checking through, and like, you have allergy shots and medicine. I'm fine now. I do sound a little congested because I was telling you before we started recording, I was dog sitting another golden doodle, and he got me a little sick, but nothing too crazy. But yeah, just to put in perspective, that's why I sound sick, because I was watching another doodle that still has me allergic.
And a really cute one, because I've looked at the photos. So
yeah, and he's only
totally
like,
worth
what,
it. Totally worth it.
25 pounds, and I was allergic to him. My gosh, I can't win. So, but yeah, so it was a long process. Luckily, we found a lady who was really willing to work with us and let us be at her house every single week. So I'm really grateful for her, because I never expected ever to have a dog. So, you know, I'm thankful for my boyfriend for being so nagging and wanting a dog so bad.
A dog as a child or earlier on?
So, well, we did, but it was kind of a different scenario. We got a dog from, how do I explain this? I lived out in like the country in Pennsylvania when I was a kid, and we got a dog who was older from a lady who lived on a farm, and he was outside most of the time. So we, but she got too old to take care of him. So we got him when he was older, and he was outside a lot, and then would stick and stay like in our basement level or like in the house. You know, he would never, he would go crazy. He hated being in the house. So it was a kind of a different scenario. And so he was never really in, he liked to be outside, and then he would be downstairs mostly, and I would be upstairs, and we made it work for a few years since we were kind of trying to help this lady out, because she couldn't take care of him. But that was kind of a unique, different situation, and we made that work. I also got allergy shots when I was that age too. So.
Oh wow. Okay.
Oh yeah.
It's, so you're kind of used to it already.
Yes, but it was a little bit different when I was younger, yeah. And then as I got older, it just got, my allergies got a lot worse. So then we kind of put that dog dream on hold for a long time.
Yeah. Well, so then I guess you moved out to, and y'all are from the kind of the Denver area out there, which
yes.
is, I guess, where Boon Boy, and I guess I should officially say his title is Boon Boy Mountain Dude.
That's what we just like to tease and call him. Only when he goes on hikes, he gets a new identity. He's Boon Boy Mountain Dude. But otherwise, he's Boon Boy, whatever we want to call
I'm
him.
I'm the same way. Rue has a full title, and it is Rue the Shark. So wherever
yes,
we go,
yes, Rue the Shark.
People have to know her full name is Rue the Shark. So, well, you've been living in the Denver area for a while now, I guess.
2 years, 2 years, yeah.
Okay.
Too long, but not too short.
Yeah, but enough time to explore and get out. Have you, I guess your boyfriend is quite an adventurer. I see a lot of his posts.
Yeah.
Were y'all both outdoors people beforehand or?
Oh, yes, yes. So that's kind of what encouraged us to move to Denver. Well, one of the many reasons, but, you know, we always love to hike. We kayak together. He fishes. He hunts. You know, we camp. So that was all since we've been kids, especially him. He's gotten me more into it. But yeah, that was all before the Denver days.
Okay. But then once you got Boone.
Oh, yeah. So we got Boone probably a year and a half. No, probably like a year. Yeah, a year, year and a half into living in Denver. And it's kind of was just like, oh yes, let's, you know, if we're getting a dog, it has to be a dog, you know, that we can go take on adventures and all this stuff. So it was kind of from the get-go, like Boone was going to be hiking and Boone better like it, you know?
So how long was it when y'all first got him? How soon did y'all get him out and
right.
doing stuff?
Pretty quickly after, you know, obviously he has to get all those shots and stuff to make sure he's safe from any diseases. But I would say once he got all the shots, we started taking him outside into, you know, local little hikes. I mean, nothing crazy. He would let us know when he was wiped out and just sit and refuse to move. But I would say, honestly, I think we got him at 9 weeks and we probably had him out, you know, by 4 months, I would say. Just roaming around outside, getting him used to running around and just already started training him to get off leash and be comfortable with that and listen to commands. So we started really quick.
And y'all have done such a great job of recording all of his,
yeah.
He's got his little, his letter board.
Oh yes.
So I guess just kind of looking through it, you can almost see right away, gosh, he was young when y'all first got him out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, like you said, I think right after he got his shots, I mean, we weren't doing anything crazy, you know,
sure.
just more so like a walk in the woods. No, I wouldn't really consider them hikes or anything, but we just got him out right away. Just wanted to get him used to, you know, the environment, used to being around other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, trying to get him in when we had a nice opportunity where no one was around, walking off leash and staying by us. And I just felt like that maybe helped us doing that early. So when he got older and a little more mischievous, he wasn't prone to run away or anything, you know, because we like to let him off leash and run when it's, you know, allowed and appropriate. So just really wanted to get him used to those environments quick.
How does he do with his recall?
That's funny. He used to be awesome. And right now he's about 9 months and it's really slipping away, which seems to be common. From what I've been seeing with other people I talk to. So it's, we're really working on that. And I've been really trying to train him just even just like at in our apartments and in other safer environments too. It's funny, the last month or so, he doesn't ever run away. He's never ran away. It's more so just like, I'll say come and he'll sit right in front of me when I go to put a leash on him and like, you know, do a little jerk back and forth. And I'm not playing this game, man. Like, I'm going to whip out the treats and try to train it. So it's, it used to be fine. And we're going through those teenage stages, I guess, but nothing tragic. You know, he always comes back, but he likes to play games for a little while. So it's a struggle right now, for sure.
Getting out and doing places, leash laws in your area? I mean,
yeah, so every hike's different, and you know, we just always make sure we look it up. They usually have it,
yeah,
posted too. There's a lot of off leash dog trails, and there's a lot of you know, on leash dog trails, so it's really different, and you just have to look it up every trail. And then you just got to make sure, and not everyone follows it, but we always make sure we follow it just because. You know, it's a rule for a reason. I don't know what, you know, it depends on the situation, but there's a lot of places out here with moose and bear and whatever. So we always make sure we follow the rules.
All sorts of wildlife.
Oh, yes. So.
Yeah. And Rue has a bad habit of wanting to chase after wildlife. So even if it is an off-leash area, we're usually on leash too. So.
Right. Yeah. We haven't really ran into much wildlife besides like, you know, squirrels and things, but I don't... I'm trying to think with him on a trail. I don't think we've ever seen any elk, which is funny because we see elk all the time, but I can't remember an occurrence where we have with him. So I want to say we haven't. So I that's something I'm very nervous about, especially right now, because he's being a little mischievous. Mm-hmm. So I personally, if I hike alone with just Boone, I never take him off the leash, but he listens to my boyfriend a little bit better, I won't lie, and he handles the situations where, you know, a little bit better than I would, and I panic like, oh my, no, come back. So, you know, if we're all three together, then in the situations okay to have off leash, we do let him off.
Yeah.
But if, I won't lie, if it's just me right now, especially because he's being mischievous, that boy is on a leash.
Gotcha. So yeah, I'm gonna name off some of these places because I've looked through some of the photos and some of the locations, like Dillon Lake, El Dorado Springs, Boulder, which I've been to Boulder a number of times. Beautiful.
Yes,
Gunnison. And I think one of the first photos, in fact, I think this is probably the first photo I saw of Boone that when I first started following, there is a great photo from, I want to say it's from Gunnison.
Probably.
Yeah. It's Gunnison National Forest, and there's a terrific photo. Boone sitting there kind of with these,
these
two peaks
up
in the background. Talking about he's almost 6 months old. So tell me a little bit about that place, because that's like straight out of a magazine right there.
That is definitely our favorite hike vacation we've ever gone. So that's actually technically in Crested Butte, but it's in the Gunnison National Forest.
Okay.
And it's just, they have this huge, I don't even know how to explain it. It's right behind the town. This huge, it's a road you can follow, and there's just all of these trails and peaks and lakes, and I mean, it's just incredible. And it was really cool. I have a friend who grew up in that town, so she kind of gave me the suggestion. And I honestly, this sounds bad, I don't know if it even has a name. It just seems like you just follow the road in the town, and everyone followed it up there. It seemed like it was a known. Let me see if I can look on a
map.
It's
just that, you know, that big mountain area over there. That's just kind of what you call it.
But it's just this road, and right behind the town, and off of it is a bunch of trails. So we didn't really have a destination. We just would find a little trail, pull off, walk around. Again, he was pretty little then, so we couldn't do any... I mean, he's still pretty little, but we couldn't do any like high mileage, especially then. That was his first real like adventure.
Okay.
But we would just walk around, and it was, honestly the best weekend ever. We are hoping to get back there for July 4th. That is our plan. And there's lots of open free camping space. It's just first come, first serve. He was a bit little then and it was getting cold. So we didn't. I think we got a dog friendly hotel. They have a lot of those up there. But this year we'll definitely go start camping with him. And that's the goal, to camp back up there. So it'll be fun to take another picture in the same spot and see how much bigger he is. But yeah, that trip was just incredible. There's just trails everywhere. You don't really need a plan. You just can drive and stop and go and see, you know, and all of these pictures we have from it were just a surprise. You know, we never knew what we were gonna see. So it was really cool.
Wow. Yeah, I'm impressed. That's fun when you can find a really special, cool place. And how far away from home is that? I mean, that's not too far.
It's not far. I would say we had a lot of traffic that week, and I want to say it should be about 5 hours, maybe 4 hours. But I remember it took us about 6 to get home because I think it was Labor Day weekend. I'm sorry. But I want to say if there would be no traffic, I want to say it's about 4 from Denver, give or take. Okay. So definitely doable for a little weekend trip or something.
Yeah, that's great. How often do y'all plan on, is it like an every weekend or once a month? I mean, do y'all have a specific, or is it just you're close enough that you can just kind of keep things ready and just kind of go whenever you get a chance?
Right. So we're slacking right now. It's winter. Yeah. We've had a really rough winter in Colorado, and we're trying to buy a house right now. So things are a little crazy for us. But on typical, we hike every Sunday. It's just kind of our little family thing. My boyfriend works a lot of Saturdays. He's a busy guy. So our trips, we do have to plan. If we're going to go somewhere for the weekend, we definitely plan that in a little bit of advance. If it's a long weekend and we both have off Monday, then we'll go like Saturday afternoon, things like that. But as a whole, we usually hike every Sunday, and it can be anywhere from we're 30 minutes from Boulder, you know, 30 minutes from Golden.
Okay.
So we'll do any of those, or we'll do, I mean, we've done 2 hour, you know, driven a 2 hour away to go and hike. We just wake up early on those days. In the summer, you kind of have to, or trails get kind of crowded out here too. So we like to be up and kind of the first ones on the trail, and then we can enjoy our afternoon doing whatever afterwards. So yeah, mostly every Sunday, like I said, though, it's been a little bit slacking lately just due to the weather and the buying a house.
And plus, I think you just got hit by the big, the Snowmageddon, or excuse me,
yeah,
the bomb. Not bomb cyclone. What do they call it? The
bomb cyclone. I think they were calling it
bomb cyclone.
Yeah, it's been crazy, and there's been a lot of avalanches up in the mountains lately.
Oh wow!
We were there 2 weekends ago. Boona got to go to doggy daycare for the day. We were up skiing, and just avalanches, and the highways are closing, so it's kind of a little bit. They're not really advising people to go up there right now. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty busy, so we're like, okay, we'll listen to the rules. it's been a crazy, crazy winter in Denver, especially compared to like last year. I swear it snowed like 3 times. So it's been snowing about every 3 days here. And we hike in the snow, don't get me wrong. We do, but sometimes when like the snow is going up to your knees, it's just not really enjoyable
anymore. It just becomes a struggle at that point.
Yes. Yeah, right. It's not really fun. So we've been slacking.
Well, both of y'all ski.
I ski. I actually just started skiing. I'm a newbie. Okay. But and my boyfriend snowboards.
Okay.
So have to figure out how to get Boone on some skis. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you mentioned leaving him, I guess, at the doggy daycare. Is there any specific mm-hmm. place that you guys tend to prefer, or you pick out because they offer doggy daycare?
So we've done a couple of things. So one time we went to Breckenridge, and we went for the whole weekend. So we wanted to bring Boone. So we found an Airbnb that he could stay in. And then we actually just used a Rover. There's a lot of awesome Rovers up there that you can find that are like, I'll take your dog on hikes. And we're like, yes, take my dog. Like, go do something fun.
Okay.
So we did that for Breckenridge. And then the other weekend, we were just going for a day trip. And we have a really awesome, we found him from Rover. Guy down the street, and he has usually like anywhere from 5 to 10 dogs at his place in a huge yard, and they just have so much fun. So he's kind of our local guy.
And when you say Rover, what is Rover?
Oh, you don't have Rover? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not familiar with Rover.
No way. It's an app. It's a dog service app that you can find someone to come just walk your dog. If you want them to just come, like if you have a puppy and they need bathroom breaks but you have to work, you can just pay them to come and let your dog out. Your dog can sleep at their house. Our dog just went for the day. So it's just a service, and they have all kinds of, you know, dog boarding, dog walking, whatever you need.
Okay.
So we'll just look it up if Boone's coming with us in the area, and like, right, he can't go skiing. So we'll use that, or we have a local guy that we found through it who Boone just goes nuts to go there. They just have so much fun. So it's a really nice service, and it's better than, I guess I shouldn't say better than, but we prefer it over, you know, boarding our dog. So if we ever need to go away for a weekend and can't bring him, that's what we would use.
Okay. And I recently found out, I'll be completely honest, I have not used Airbnb a whole bunch, but I am going to be coming out to Leadville later this summer, and I was really surprised to go on there and find that there are dog-friendly places. So I am very happy about that, but I'll definitely have to mention Rover in the show notes as well as a way for people to use that kind of service.
Yeah, it's really awesome. It's just, you know, that way. And, you know, some of the Airbnbs, you can have a dog, but they don't want you to keep the dog there alone, you know, which I understand. Yeah. So it's just a nice service to have. And most towns, you can find somebody, you know, and they have reviews and things like that that you can go over. Another thing about Rover that I've really loved is every single Rover we've used, they've actually invited us to come over beforehand to see their place, to meet them, and then also if they have any dogs, to make sure our dogs get along with their dogs.
Oh, that's nice.
So every single one has offered me that, which I just really love. You know, you just gives you a little bit of peace of mind to know that, you know, where your dog is, and you've met the person before you just dropped them off. So I like that too.
Not just dropping your dog off with some stranger.
Right, yeah. There you go. My dog. Yeah. So.
Thanks for your dog, buddy.
Yeah, right? So, it's a little scary.
Well, when y'all drive up there, any issues with driving with Boone? How do you manage longer car rides with him?
Yeah, we've been really lucky. Boone just sleeps. I'll be honest, he is really good in the car, and he's always just slept. You know, we make sure we stop for him. You know, have food and water, but
oh yeah.
As a whole, I mean, I really can't say we've had any issues. He's always just snoozing in the back.
That's great.
But we're pretty lucky. Yeah, I think the longest trip he's done so far was on our way home from Crested Butte. I think it was 6 hours. And we stopped and let him out. And
yeah,
but no, he was fine. I was a lot more antsy than he was, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm every time I'm in the car with Rue, it's like every few minutes I'm like, how you doing back there? You doing?
Right?
You need anything?
And he's like, leave me alone, I'm sleeping.
Let's see. Do you guys buckle him up?
Oh, that's funny you said that. We did at first. I won't lie. I accidentally stuck the car buckle in backwards and I broke our car seat. So we're kind of in this. So I need to get that fixed somehow. I did that about a month ago, but we just had, I mean, it's nothing crazy. It was just like, it hooked into the seat and then it clipped onto his harness.
Okay.
But I won't lie. We haven't done any really crazy trips since I've broken that. But I won't lie. I need to figure out how to get that out of mine. Car seat thing. It's jammed in there. I put it in upside down. So we did. And I'm not going to lie. Right now, we have not been because I broke it.
Do you guys use a harness quite a bit?
Yeah, so I actually, since, you know, he's still a puppy and we're still working on some of his little problem behaviors, I use that, the PetSafe Easy Walk. Have you ever seen that one? It hooks in the front.
Yes, I sure have.
It really helps with pulling a lot.
Okay.
It's made a big difference for us, so I highly recommend that for anyone who, even just walking your dog around the neighborhood. I mean, that's the only thing. If I have to take him out, if I take him out quick and put him on just his collar, man, oh man, you know, he's pulling me all over the place. He's so hyper. So that, you know, I swear by it. It really does make a difference for us. I've heard some people it doesn't. So hopefully nobody listens to this and then I'm lying, but, yeah, no, we put him on a harness always. And that's our favorite, the Pet Safe Easy Walk, I believe it's called. They have it on Amazon or on, I think they have it at like Petco and all those stores too.
And he also has quite a collection of what I'm going to call designer harnesses. I know he's got one with some cactus on it, I think, or something like that.
I might be mistaken. Well, so those were, yeah, so he had a few of those when he was little, but honestly, those definitely don't fit him anymore. We had some fun ones. Those were just from TJ Maxx and stuff. They were just from stores. But I haven't bought him a harness since. I've actually bought him the Easy Walk just because and nothing compares for us. And it just makes my life easier to put him in that.
Yeah.
He does have a collection of bandanas. I will.
He's got a massive collection of bandanas.
I know. I'm on bandana probation because we're trying to buy a house. No more bandanas for Boone.
He's got some great ones, and I really do like them. Some
guilty pleasures. I guess mine is buying my dog bandanas. Oh, gosh.
There's nothing wrong with it. Well, he looks super cute in them, so it's totally worth all the money you've spent on bandanas. Absolutely.
Oh, man. I don't want to think about how much money I've spent on bandanas. We just try to pretend that, you know, just block that out of my mind. Doesn't exist. I did see you had mentioned maybe asking about some like other gear.
Sure.
I do have a few suggestions for some people.
Okay.
We swear by, we have, it's called Mosher's Paw Wax. I don't know if, Rue, does snow get in her paws or anything like that?
It does a little bit. I'll be totally honest. We don't really see a whole lot of snow.
Oh, duh. Yeah. Of course.
Well, the few times that we do see snow, we've gone on our winter trip out west.
Right.
And we're
awesome.
Out there for sometimes about 2 weeks. And we'll get quite a bit of snow in that time period. A lot of times she's in boots. Just to really protect her feet. If we're in a hurry and we just don't have time to put the boots on and we're just going out to use the bathroom or whatever, I don't worry about it too much. But the one thing I'm actually interested in, because she does so much trail running and she gets a lot of wear and tear on her pads, and I've never used anything previously. I've put like human lotion on her pads in severe situations when I've had to, but I worry about her licking that off. So I'm guessing that what you got, Mosher's?
Yeah, so it's called Mosher's, Mosher's, paw wax, and it's just like a wax, and it's just, yeah, protecting. We just, it's honestly the tube's the same size as paw, so we stick his paw right in it, and around, I guess. Maybe that's why it's called Mosher's. And we really use it for right now. The snow, he has like really curly hair and the snow just forms huge snowballs to the point where he has like a huge block of snow under his pad, but he hates the boots. He hates the boots. We're working on those. So he won't wear those right now. So it's kind of another option. And it's also just good if he wants to play in the snow and not, you know, we're not going on a hike. He can be in the snow, you know? So, and it is, I see it's miracle. It's a miracle wax. It just keeps everything off of him. And we'll put it on, honestly, on the other side of his foot too, the whole way around.
Okay.
And it just stops it from forming snowballs. So anyone with like a longer haired or curly haired dog, I want to say it's like maybe $12 on Amazon and it's never on Prime, but it's definitely worth the investment. I haven't seen it in any stores ever. I'm not sure where else you could get it, but
I'll see if I can find it. Maybe put a link for that in the show notes.
Yeah,
as well.
It's definitely our, we like don't go on hikes without it anymore. It's really made a huge difference.
Now, can you also use that? It's for his pads, obviously, but is that similar to something that you would use on his nose as well, just for moisturizing?
Right, totally. To help it from, like, you know, when it's too cold and cracking and getting dry. Yep, totally. It's the same thing. So yeah, it's just a really nice thing we found that I'm like, you know, singing from the mountaintops because it's just it's so great for us.
Yeah.
And it's cool there. Yeah.
He does have some really awesome photos of a snow mustache. Snow.
Oh,
I think
he just sticks his face in
that
stuff.
Came up with snow tees.
Yes, he is. He will just like go the second there's snow, which is lately all the time. He'll just run out there and just nosedive into it. Like he just loves the snow, but it really gets stuck on his quick snow mustache really quick and all over him. So
yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say another product that we really love is, I don't know if you have this problem, but oh my gosh, if it's wet, if it was raining, if it's muddy, and tracking all that mud into our car, oh my goodness. We got I think it's from Kurgo, a car seat cover.
Yeah.
And it's like machine washable, and it's also we went with them for like $10 more than one on Amazon, only because it's a lifetime guarantee.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, if I run it through the wash and it starts to snag or whatever, it'll still work. So that's like a must. Like he can't get in my car unless that thing's on there, 'cause he gets so dirty.
Yeah. Rue gets really muddy. Especially around here, we don't get snow, but we get a lot of rain. And,
right.
Our trails turn into just pure mud.
I bet.
We've got that Southern Delta, river delta mud,
right?
So yeah, we're the same way. We've got a car seat cover. Ours is one that actually just I made.
Oh, nice.
Just went to the fabric store.
Not
to say anything bad about other brands out there. It's just it was the thriftiest version of
go. I'm very unthrifty. I can't even cut a shirt on with scissors. So sometimes you just gotta. You got to accept your gifts and find ways around the ones you don't have.
Oh, yeah. a couple yards of canvas and a little bit of stitching, and we have a car seat cover. So
that's awesome.
Which,
yeah.
Which works great.
It's a must need. I got a new car right when Boone started going on adventures, and I quickly learned that he wasn't allowed in my car.
Yeah.
Without something down, so... Yeah,
so the Kurgo one, is it just a canvas or kind of like that heavier material?
Yeah, I don't really know what you would call the material, but it hooks around like the headrest and then also mm-hmm. hooks around like the back seat
yeah.
Into the trunk.
And it creates a cradle almost from front to back.
Right,
yeah.
From everything falling out. Yeah, so it's really nice for us because... We were always just putting towels down, but he got bigger quick and then starts walking around my seat. And I'm like, oh my gosh, stop. You know, I would end up bringing like 8 towels. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, when does this stop?
Yeah. Every outing turns into a dog towel wash afterwards.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. Like, we're like, did you bring more towels? Do you have more? We're like, we brought 5 towels. We're like, we need more towels. So. That's saved us a little bit, but we still need at least 3.
Yeah. And we still wipe down after our run before we hop in the car.
Right. So, yeah, totally.
Because as much as I love having the car seat cover, I hate having to take it out, throw it in the wash, put it back
in. Totally.
So it's just kind of the last line of defense against having to wash the car itself. So.
Yeah, no, I know. I won't lie. It's dirty in my car for... you know, multiple hikes before my car, and it's time for this thing to go inside and get washed, but at least it's not on my seats for the future. So.
I'm assuming because you guys are really close to it, traveling to National Park, you've got Rocky Mountain National Park pretty much right in your backyard.
Totally.
And I'm assuming you've been there with Boone.
Yes. So Rocky Mountain National Park is about... I want to say an hour and 15 minutes. So it's before Boone, it was our go-to spot. We would be there honestly every weekend. But for my, I'm a little not positive on all the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to have dogs out on the trails. Might be allowed to have them. Like a lot of people drive around the park. I don't know about that. You might be able to have them in your car.
Yeah.
But that's not really something we like to do. So we've had to find, there are a handful of really awesome trails like outside the park that are dog friendly, but if it's part of Rocky Mountain National, we from our understanding, we can't take him in there. There's one that we love if anyone's going to the area called Lily Mountain Trail.
Okay.
And it's probably one of our go-tos. And it's like in the park, but it's outside of the park. Like if you look on a map, you're in the park, but it's dog friendly. There's lots of dogs on it. And it's just honestly epic. It's all, I can't even explain it. We have lots of photos on our page of it. But that's really one of the only ones we've consistently gone to outside the park. There are some other ones. This one's just the best one, I would say. But it is a little bit hard. There is the town though of Estes Park.
Yeah.
And that's super dog friendly. A lot of shops will let you bring the dog in. I just like to ask before, and if not, one of us stand outside. A lot of the restaurants, and this goes for a lot of Colorado like mountain towns, they'll have outside seating. And so in the summer and stuff, you can just sit outside with your dog.
Okay.
And so we'll like to do that. And if not, we'll just get takeout. And there's a lot of breweries that you can just take dogs to. So we'll just get takeout from a restaurant and go to a brewery to sit down with him.
I've always found that kind of the brewery culture is all about, letting your dogs, especially on the patios and stuff. That's always been a big thing. And yeah, I really haven't up until now. This is still pretty early on in the podcast, so I really haven't had a chance to talk to anyone much about the national parks. But I've always found that national parks tend to be much more strict about dog rules, where they can go and what they can do. And if anyone listening is interested, you can always go to NPS.gov, which is the National Park Service, and you can go to the specific national park, or a lot of times they'll also have national monuments listed in there as well. And I believe it's typically, when you're looking at their website, if you go to the Plan Your Visit tab, which is kind of at the top of their website, and then I think it's basic information. I've done this a few times because I've looked at a bunch. But under the plan your visit and basic information, they have a listing for pets, and it'll give you the breakdown for that specific park. But yeah, if it's anything like most of the national parks I've been to, you can take your dog. You might not be able to do trails. You can have them in your car, and you can have them within a certain range of something crazy like 20, 30 feet of the road, or just off the road or on the trail or in the camping areas. And that's pretty much it. Some of them are a little more lenient, and some of them are not. So it's always a good thing to check.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a little bit tougher. We used to have like the national parks pass and stuff, but once we got Boone, we stopped renewing it just because we were like, yeah, it's a little bit more complicated now.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, but we find ways around that. We could still enjoy the town and those kind of things, but not be in the actual park with him.
Yeah. And before anyone complains about it, it is for, there are lots of specific reasons. It's not just because the National Park Service doesn't like dogs.
Oh, there's so many. I mean, there's been so many times where I've run into, a herd of hundreds of elk, you know, and my dog would go nuts. You know, Boone would be jumping up and down like, oh my gosh, who are these big dogs? Like, he wouldn't understand. You know what I mean? So totally. I wouldn't want my dog in that situation, and I wouldn't want to interrupt their home. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Makes sense.
And there's parks are almost always so crowded, and it's just tough trying to go down a trail with a dog when you've got that many people out there. So
that's a good point.
I completely understand the regulations with dogs, but good to know that there are some close by places that are probably just as beautiful and a lot less crowded.
They are, and very dog friendly. Lots of pretty much everyone has a dog on them because you can't take the dogs to the other places.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. I don't have a problem with it. We always just search the area we're in and then dog friendly trails. And we always can find something. So that's just a little easy hint. Just Google it.
Yeah.
You can always find something for sure.
Well, do y'all have any adventures planned? Any trips coming up that you're looking forward to?
Well, like I said, we are definitely excited to go back to Gunnison and Crested Butte, hopefully July 4th. We don't have any crazy trips or planned right now, just because, like I said, we're trying to buy a house.
Yeah.
But Utah is definitely top on our list. We wanted to get there this year, so we will see maybe in the fall. So if we don't get there this fall, then I definitely think we'll get there next summer. And we would like to do at least a whole week hitting a bunch of different towns.
Any specific places in Utah?
I think we really wanted to go to, well, this is something I just haven't looked up yet. We really want to go to Zion, but I'm assuming you can't take dogs there.
Correct. Unfortunately.
So, you know, we definitely need to find some dog friendly places. We really just want to go all over. And I think then something like Zion, that's something that I've wanted to do for years, that we would probably, again, like maybe just find a place for Boone to go for the day. Yeah. So we could still enjoy that. Yeah, I mean, there's the Arcs, and I know there's Canyonlands. I don't know any, they're all national parks, so I don't know the rules on them. But, you know, well, again, we can find areas outside. So I haven't done much research, so I'm kind of just talking. I don't really know much. I'm not going to lie here.
Well, I've been through a lot of that area, and Southern Utah is one of those places. I always tell people when I die and go to heaven, it's going to be in Southern Utah.
It's Southern Utah, yeah. It's so it looks amazing. I can't believe I haven't been yet.
You've got towards closer to Colorado, you've got Arches National Park, and then Capitol Reef National Park. And then as you go kind of southwest, you have Bryce Canyon, Zion, and I'm missing one, Canyonlands.
Glen Canyon
Recreational Area is over
Canyon,
in that area.
There's a bunch of canyons.
It's that entire area is a giant hotspot for national monuments and parks.
Right.
And then kind of in the middle of all of that, the largest area is Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, which is where I've been to a couple times.
Okay.
We'd have, Rue and I actually went to Bryce Canyon 3 years ago, and we kind of snuck in a little bit of some, just a tiny, tiny bit, off of the paved area. Not too bad. I mean, it's really beautiful to drive through, but also even in the wintertime, it's just extremely packed and crowded. So about all that we could do was drive through, not a whole bunch of trail for us to do.
Sure.
We spent most of our time, I really planned a lot around Grand Staircase Escalante. It's just a huge, huge, I mean, we're talking about 1 million acres or something like that. It's enormous. And it's all just open, and there's, you could spend an entire day out there and not run into anybody. So, definitely a great place to take the dog.
Okay. Yeah. We it's been in the talks, but it's just never been planned yet. So I know this, anyone listening who doesn't have a dog Instagram might think we're kind of silly, but, I really use the dog Instagram world as a resource. I always find awesome hikes, and I follow a lot of dogs in Utah. So my kind of plan was, once we actually can pick a date and, you know, start to plan our trip, I was gonna hit up some of my dog friends.
Oh yeah.
Because they're always on hikes, you know, and it's a great resource to find, even just looking at other dogs, like tagged locations on their photos, and using it as resources to find trails. I do that in Denver all the time. Like, oh, where were you at? And then, you know, and I'll shoot them a DM, or I'll just look up what they tagged and go see if it's, you know, dog friendly and whatnot. So we haven't really gotten to look into things. A lot of the stuff we want to do is in the national parks, but we will always accommodate Booty.
Well, that's how we planned our entire trip this past winter, was getting suggestions from our dog friends. That's exactly how we planned the whole trip. And it worked out great. Actually, I think you gave me the suggestion for Breckenridge.
Right. Yeah, totally. We love Breckenridge. So we're there all the time. We go up there pretty often. Not pretty often, but often enough, I should say.
It's a beautiful place.
So it is. It's really awesome. And the town's really dog friendly. So that's really fun.
Yeah, we stopped in Breckenridge kind of early morning and had breakfast there. One of my favorite places there is Daylight Donuts on Main Street.
Oh, I haven't been there.
Really, really good. So, well, I stopped for breakfast. Well, no, I did actually buy a sausage roll for the dog. Rue got a little bit of a treat there. But yeah, just kind of after that, just cruising up and down Main Street. Well, walking up and down Main Street with Rue, and then just kind of all around on the Breckenridge, the recreation path.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That runs kind of all through town. So that's just a lot of fun. And even in the snow, and it was cold. It was -3 degrees the morning that we were there.
What time were you there? What time of year were you there again?
That was the end of December.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it was pretty cold. And I think most of that was just wind chill.
So yeah, it's a little bit harder in those towns in the winter. We've come to realize traveling with the dog, just because you can't sit outside to eat. Well, I guess you can, but it's not as desirable. You know, where a lot of the times in the summer they set up tables and stuff outside, so you can eat with your dog and stuff. So it's a little bit harder, we've noticed, in the winter. I don't personally like to eat outside at -3, but. To each their own.
No, and I think in our situation, I just went in to grab food and brought it back out and ate in the car with Rue.
Yeah, right.
And she enjoys that much more.
We have to do that a lot too, but it's okay.
So the next question I have for you is that pretend that I am going to take care of all your responsibilities. Rue and I are going to... pay all your expenses. We're gonna take care of your new house and all the paperwork.
Oh, great!
You don't have to go to work, and you have unlimited funds. If you could go anywhere with Boone and do anything, where would that be? What would you do?
Oh, right now our top dream, and pretend there's not rules on dogs being places.
Sure, no rules. All the rules are gone.
And I don't know, because I feel like I see dogs here a lot, is we really want to get to the Canadian Rockies. They just look incredible. So that's really, really, really top on our dream list, is to get up there and hike.
Nice.
I feel like there's so many places up there. I don't know. Are you familiar?
Trust me. I've looked at so many photos.
Yeah. I know. So, that would be really, really top. I definitely don't know the rules up there. Maybe it's different because it's a different country. I don't know. A girl can dream. But we also, you know what we love doing with Boone, which is kind of not as adventure-y, more luxury, but getting on a boat and like cruising around a lake is just the fun. Boone loves it. So if you want to pay for all my bills, I will rent a boat. I'll pay for that part. And
we'll just buy the boat. You don't have
to
rent
perfect.
It.
You guys buy my boat, you know, and there's actually some really cool places even in Colorado that Lake Dillon or it might even be Dillon Reservoir or something like that is just like in the middle. It's right by Breckenridge and it's just surrounded by mountains and just this lake and everyone's just cruising on their boat. So we could do that. I mean, if Boone wants to go to Europe, we could go to Europe. I don't know what we're going to do in Europe, but Mom wants to go to Europe, so.
But you only get to pick one place.
Okay, fine. Then we're going to the Canadian Rockies, and I'm sure they have a cool lake there I can get a boat to.
Oh, I'm just kidding. You can actually pick all of those places, and it's just one big road trip. You're just going to make a big loop.
Exactly. Yep. Well, we're just going to stop at Breckenridge on our way to Canada.
And pick up breakfast on the way.
Yeah, right. I'll go grab a donut. No. But definitely, I think, and I think the Canadian Rockies is something that we will do, but not in the foreseeable future. Maybe 5 to 10 years from now, when things are a little more settled down.
It's a big drive. It's a big drive for you. It's a huge drive for us, and we've actually contemplated heading up there. But that's definitely a summertime trip.
Yeah, for sure. I think I looked it up once. And I want to say it was maybe, I don't know, 30-ish hours, but now I might be making it up. It might be, let's look right here. Oh, actually, my GPS is only saying 15. That's easy. We can do that.
15 hours. Oh.
Well, 16. But
that's next weekend.
Yeah, right? Let's do it. You guys paying for all my stuff still? No. So it's definitely doable. But like I said, just a lot to plan and a lot going on, but that's definitely another big one that we always dream about.
Yeah. Well, I guess to kind of wrap this up, the final question, is there anyone either on Instagram that you follow or in real life that we should know about, or anyone you just want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anyone specifically, but you know, I do appreciate all the Colorado pups we followed. Like I said before, they always give us tons of hiking suggestions. There actually is, you know what? There is a dog I will give a shout out to. They live in our area. Their name's Hiking with Honey. She lives on the street and she's always giving me hike suggestions. So I will give them a shout out.
Okay.
And I appreciate all of their suggestions.
Oh yeah. I'm looking through her photos right now.
There are neighbors that we've never met. They literally live like 10 minutes away.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They live really close to us. But I'm surprised we haven't ran into them at like a park or on a trail, because we go to a lot of the same places. But I haven't ran into them yet. So it's,
oh, cool,
yeah, it's pretty fun. You found it's like just hiking.with.honey.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking at it for like whole time you've been talking. I'm just like scrolling through, mesmerized by some of these photos.
Yeah, they have some really awesome pictures. So they might be someone.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going
to
send her
a note. Get in touch
with.
I think they could have some good stuff too. And I think they would be a little bit different from, we go to different trails, but we also she's had Honey a little bit longer too.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, but she's got Garden of the Gods on here too. Which is,
yeah.
That's one place I've always wanted to do.
It's pretty cool. We haven't gotten, I will say, it's more of like a walk. It's
okay.
Not really like a hike. It's like a paved walk. It would be somewhere that I would like Rue. I mean, like you would take Rue, but it wouldn't be like a whole day adventure. You know,
yeah.
It would be like a nice little afternoon, like hour kind of thing. It's a really awesome place. Like, don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But it's not like a destination that would take your whole day up.
Gotcha.
It's just kind of, yeah.
Well, sometimes those are the fun spots when we're on the road to kind of,
right,
like,
absolutely. It's somewhere you could stop for 30 minutes to an hour.
Yep.
Yeah. And just like do some scenic. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I've seen lots of dogs there. So I assume dogs are out there.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten Boone down there yet. We don't adventure to the springs too often, but we should, because they're super awesome. So put that on my to-do list. On my to-hike list. Yeah, check her out.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, I just, you know, all the dogs that are always teaching me where to make my life easier with hikes, I appreciate all of them, but nobody else really specific comes to mind. There's just so many.
Well, if you think of any, we can always put it in
yes.
the show notes.
Perfect.
But it's definitely, it truly is, it comes down to that community of just being able to reach out to other dogs. I mean, exactly what we're doing right here. In fact, I'm probably gonna have to hit you guys up later this summer when we head out that direction, and maybe have a meetup when we're on the way through Colorado.
Yeah, well, definitely let us know. So that'd be awesome if we could meet up somewhere along the way. And
yeah, we'll do we'll have to do a live episode.
Oh, perfect! That'd be so fun. Hopefully, we'll have some more hikes down our sleeve by then, because we've been slacking lately. So much snow. It's so hard.
Yeah, hopefully. And there's still going to be snow even that late into the year, which is crazy to think about.
Oh,
but
in the mountains? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there'll be snow. In June, it'll probably start to melt. It'll be melting. But if it keeps snowing, like, into April, which I'm honestly sure it will, I mean, yeah, it's going to be there still.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy out here. It's like June and you look and there's snow-capped mountains and you're like, what is going? But it's like 75 where you're at and you're like, I don't really understand this, but such a unique place.
Well, that's what makes it beautiful. That's
yes,
that's
it
what
is,
makes it
for sure.
Why we want to go and see these places. So definitely.
Absolutely. That's why we came here, I guess.
Well, I just want to, you know, say a big thank you. Obviously, it's been great to have you on, Megan. And for everyone listening, go follow boonboy.dude. Or if you want to use his real name, Boonboy Mountain Dude.
Boonboy Mountain Dude.
at boonboy.dude on Instagram. And again, thank you so much. And we will be in touch.
Awesome. Sounds great. Hopefully we get to meet up in June.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
And that was Boone Boy Dude. some great info from Megan about places to check out in the mountains around Denver. Go check out their account on Instagram. And you can also see notes about some of the things and places and people we talked about over at Adventure Dog Podcast on Instagram. You can see the full show notes on the website, or you can email me at nathan@adventuredogpodcast.com. Please go on wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's iTunes or Spotify, and subscribe. Give us a review if you get a moment. It would really help, and I would greatly appreciate it. Next week, I'll give you my conclusion on which doggo car seat belt I like, and we'll be talking to someone who has definitely spent some time driving with dogs. Like 8 months! As always, thank you for listening. Now, go have an adventure with your doggos.